Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We will begin in Be'ezer Hashem is Baruch on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amra Yehuda Am Shmuel. HaKosev Nechosev L'Acher. If somebody writes over his assets to somebody else, and the Rif and the Rosh and the Rambam all tell us that the case that our Gemara is referring to is speaking about a shchimeram, because as we learned, divrei shchimeram k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, the words of a shchimeram don't require a kinyan. Were we to speak about a healthy person, so of course one of the most important principles taught in Shas is that you have to have a kinyan, and therefore the fact, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the person did say something, didn't say something, is not really material, because you have to have a kinyan. If there's no kinyan, there's no transfer of assets. There are other Rishonim that suggest that our Gemara is speaking about even a healthy person making a gift, and that what we're referring here to, the Ravid explains, is that the shtar is dropped into the person who he's giving the gift to, into his lap, and by it being dropped directly into his lap, that's where it's considered as if the kinyan was made. And now the question is, what is the halacha if the person doesn't want to receive what's being given to him? So again, says the Gemara, Amrim Yehuda Mishmul, HaKos V'Nechos V'L'Acher, if somebody writes over his assets to somebody else, V'Amma, and the person who's supposed to receive it, says, Yefshi Behem, I'm not interested, Kana, then it still becomes his. Anyway, even if he's standing and declaring that he doesn't want it, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is loy kana, he can't. The Rishonim point out that one aspect which is actually not mentioned in our shir that may be a consideration is if this individual owes money to someone else. So if the person doesn't owe money to someone else, as we're going to be learning, there may be a fair claim that he doesn't want to receive it. As I saw the Rishonim point out, the famous Pasuk Soina Matanas Yechia, people who don't like to take gifts, is something to be lauded. But if somebody owes someone else money, when he's refusing to take the gift, what he's essentially doing is he's depriving the person whom he owes money to, the opportunity to get the money that's owed. And that changes the entire complexion of this Gemara, that maybe there he has no right to refuse the gift. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba b'mam v'le pligi. There's really, he says, no machloikas here. Kan b'tzaveich mikara. If a person, as soon as the gift, says, I refuse to receive it, you can't force a person to take something he doesn't want. So then the halacha is that he could say he doesn't want it. Kan b'shoisek mikara l'b'soif tzaveach. But if he first is quiet, which indicates that he's willing to accept the gift, and then afterwards he starts to protest, then the halacha is that the gift is not his. And here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What would be the halacha if he was tzaveich mikara, that he was quiet, that he immediately protested that he doesn't want the gift? So what happens with the gift? So the Rashbam says that the gift becomes hefker. But many other rishonim disagree with the Rashbam. And they say, where if he immediately rejected the gift, it remains in the possession of the person who wanted to receive the gift, who wanted to give the gift. What he wanted to do didn't happen, and therefore the halacha will be that the gift is considered, it remains in his possession. The Rif tells us, as we started the shir, since the halacha is the divrei shchimera k'ksuvim amasurim dami, so if the recipient of a shchimera's gift remains silent at the time of the shchimera's directive, then he can't refuse the gift because it's already even in his possession. And as we explained, even if he didn't make a kinyan, because when you receive something from a shchimera, there is no need to make a kinyan because divrei shchimera keksuvim umsurim dami. But ask the Nukri Yosef that we learned in that previous year that even though divrei shchimera keksuvim umsurim dami, the actual gift is not finalized until the shchimera passes away. So why can't he refuse it? Because we say, because it says, ask the Mokhi Yosef. Because as soon as the shchimera made his declaration, it became his. If he didn't protest, it doesn't become his until the shchimera passes away. Says the Tzais, that even though the halacha indeed is that the Shchimera's gift is not really finalized until the Shchimera passes away. And therefore, as we learned and will continue to learn, a Shchimera has the right to rescind his gift until the time of his death. That doesn't mean that the gift doesn't take effect until the time of his death. Rather, explains the Tzais, the gift of a Shchimera takes immediate effect at the time of his instructions, but its validity is contingent on whether he decides to retract before in death. And if he doesn't retract the gift before he passes away, then the gift takes effect retroactively from the time that he made his oral statement. So now explains the Tzais, the riff is very geschmack. If the person did not refuse the gift at the time that the Shchimera made a statement, so it becomes his, because as we explained, there is no necessity by a shchimera for formal act of kinyan. Since there's no necessity for formal act of kinyan, it becomes his if he doesn't protest. Unless, says the Tzais, the shchimera changes his mind. But if the shchimera doesn't change his mind, then it'll be effective and can't just be undone, as we'll learn. Says the Gemara, Amram Nachman be Yitzchak, says the Gemara, Zikloi Eidei Acher. If the person who wants to give the gift is giving him the gift by somebody else there, standing there and receive the gift on his behalf, Vishasak, and the person who's supposed to receive the gift is just remaining silent. And then, Ulubsoif Tzavach, and then he declared and protest that he doesn't want the gift. Says the Gemara, that presumably is the subject of Machloikus of Shimon Gamliel Rabbanon. The Tanya, the Braisa tells us, again, speaking about a Shchimera, HaKoysev Nechosev L'Acher, somebody writes over, says, the Koysev doesn't mean necessarily Koysev. Koysev could also mean Oimer by a Shchimera. And he says that my asset should be given to this individual, V'hoi ben Avodim, and amongst those assets are avodah v'mahalo, and the person who's receiving the get says, this gift says, Efshi, but I'm not interested. And as the way the Rishonim explained, he says, an evid is not such a perfect gift because you have to take care of the evid. So the halacha is, im hayo rabban hasheni koyin, if the person who's receiving the gift is a koyin, and we know that the avodim kananim of a koyin are entitled to eat truma, says the Gemara, the halacha is that harei elo oichem betruma, they may eat truma. They're considered that they're the property of this person, and his statement, the efshi behem, is disregarded. Shimon Gamliel Eimer, kimin shama lo, this person said the efshi behem, I'm not interested in them. By making that declaration, kvazocha behen ayorshim, the people who are the yorshim of the person who gave the gift become the owner of this asset, and by becoming the owner of the asset, and whatever their status is will be the way we determine the status of the evid. Vavinabok, and we, in understanding this brisa, the question of course is with Tanakama, when the Tanakama says that it becomes the property of the person whom the gift was given to, afilo oimiv tzaveach, even if he's protesting that he doesn't want to receive it, doesn't become his anyway. The person has to agree to take a gift that he doesn't want. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Vitaim Rabbi Yochanan, Tzaveich Bikara, if he protests right away, so the Kulei Amma Pligi Deloikani, of course he doesn't become the owner of these assets. Shasak, if he was silent, and then he protests, there too, Kulam Pligi, there's no question, the Kani, that he becomes the owner of these assets. Ki Pligi, where do we have a Machlaikus? Where somebody else was standing there, and the person who's giving the gift was asking him to receive the gift on behalf of the person to whom he wants to give it. And this person who is ultimately supposed to receive the gift, Shasak, Ubsoif Tzavach, he was quiet and then he protested. And the Gemara explains the Machlokes. Tanakama Sover, it is the opinion of the Tanakama, Midashasak, since he was initially quiet, Kaninu, it becomes his. Vahai the Kotzavach, he's protesting, it represents Mahadadu Kahadabe, because he wants to retract, which he cannot do. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Sover, whereas Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is, Hachiach Saifa Tchilasai. The fact that he ultimately protests is a proof that he never was interested in taking ownership of these avodim. So, of course, the question is, so why didn't he protest till now? The reason he didn't say anything till now, the Sava, his thinking was, ki loimata liyodai, the evid isn't come to my possession. So if the evid isn't coming to my possession, then what's the purpose of protesting? There's a very interesting shaila that the Chishukei Chemed discusses, which is sort of the opposite of what we're learning in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we're learning that everybody agrees that if the person who's receiving the gift protests immediately, then the gift will not be considered a gift. What would be the halacha if somebody wanted to give somebody a gift, and the person who was supposed to get the gift said, I don't want to receive the gift. He thought that receiving the gift could cause him all sorts of issues with, for example, the tax department or other departments. And of course, he didn't want to receive the gift if it comes with all of these issues attached to it. Then he was told that your assumption was completely wrong. His assumption was completely wrong, and there's no issues. The issues you thought come with this gift are not an issue. And as we often speak in our shiurim, what we're faced now is with a situation of an umdana. An umdana means that the halacha follows an assumption which is an obvious assumption. And here it should be considered that it's an umdana, and it should be that the whole thing was a mistake, and it should be that he is accepting the gift. But the Maril Diskin seems to say that if somebody protested, so the whole transaction, the whole transaction is an invalid transaction. And therefore, the fact that he afterwards realized that he made an error is too little too late. As the Chishukei Chemed quotes the words of the Gemara, Masechta Brachos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, K'shiritzisi, when I wanted, Lo Ritzisa, you didn't want. Achshav She'ata Roitza, not that you want, any Roitza, I don't want. And that's the way he says to look at this situation. When I wanted to give the gift, you protested. Yes, it was a protest that was issued by mistake, but the reality is you protested. And if the reality is that you protested, then you can't reverse that. Tana Baram, says the Gemara, Shchimra Shama. If a Shchimra gave instructions saying, Tanu Masayim Zuz Leploni, give 200 Zuz to this individual, Shloish Meis Leploni, 300 Zuz to this individual, Vaba Meis Leploni, and 400 Zuz to this individual. Ein Omrim, we don't say the Kol HaKoinim B'Shtar Zochem. So the question is, how do we distribute this money? Do we say that the order it was written should be followed? And first, the first person should get, then the second person should get, or the third person should get? Or does he mean to give it to them all at the same time? And where this will be most relevant is if the amount that the Shchimara wanted to distribute is not really available. So the question will be, do we divide it up according to the order that it was spoken, and the first one gets his share, and then whatever's left goes to the second person, or whatever left goes to the third person, or do we divide it up proportionally? It says the Gemara, all of them get it, and lefikach yatzalav shtar chayv. And similarly, if the shchev merah owed money, and now they have to pay that chayv, chayvim mekulam, they all equally have to pay off that debt. Again, proportionally to the way he has to, the way it was distributed to them. Aval, says the Gemara, Amma tunuma saims was leploini. And here he added the word v'achrav, and afterwards give leploini 300. V'achrav leploini, and then give 400 to the third person. Oimrim, now we'll say, kalakon b'shtar zocha, whoever comes first gets first. Lefikach, yatzalav shtar chayv, and if the tzchimaraz owes money, so nat aloch is goivim and achron, the last person in line is the first person from who we collect. Gava min achron, if we eloi, if there's not enough with the assets that he received, we go to the person who's before him. Eloi, and if he doesn't have, then we'll go to Shayfanov, we'll go to the person who's in front of him. The Yavitz points out that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hay, Mishnah Aleph, says Basar Mamaris Nivra Olam, that the world was created by Sar Mamaris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Bereishis says the word Vayomer 10 separate times. Why was it necessary to create the world in these 10 separate Mamaris? We're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not bound by any of these, by any of the limitations that we humans have. So the reason is that we want to point out that after everything was created, the purpose of the entire creation was the Adam, the person who is the culmination of the entire creation. And the same, he says, where do we see this? Let's say somebody wants to list 10 names. So it could be understood in one of two ways how he's listing these names. It could be all 10 are the same to him, but you only could write, or you only could say one name at a time. Or it could represent that the order that they're being written represents there's a calculation why this one's mentioned first. There's a reason why this one's being mentioned first, and why this one's being mentioned second, and so on and so on. So how do we know? Says the Yavitz, the way we know is by what we're learning in our Gemara. Because our Gemara is teaching us that the way things are stated is a representation of what the intention was. So says the Yavitz, that's exactly what the Torah is trying to accomplish by saying that Sarma Morris. Because if the Torah would have just listed without these separate vayomers between each creation of the world, we could easily think and assume that they're all the same. Just we have to say one at a time. The fact the Torah goes out of its way to say vayomer between each creation is very much an indication that there's a reason why they're set in that order, and the person, the Adam, who's mentioned last, is mentioned specifically for the reason, because that he was the tachlis, he was the culmination of the bria. Tana Rabbana Shchimarash Amma, Tanuma Saim Zuz Laplani, B'ni B'char Keroiloi. Give 100, 200 Zuz to my son, who's a B'char, Keroiloi. Noitlon, he debts this 200, V'noitl Es B'charasai. He says, when he said the word karoiloi, what the Gemara is saying he meant to say was that besides what he's entitled to as his bechaira, he's getting another 200 zuz. However, im amar bebecharasai, and the words were karoiloi were not added. So what he meant to say is that he didn't mean to give it on top of his Bechaira. And the way we understand what he meant to say is, Yodai El Al Yonai. It's the Bechara's choice what to take. Rotsa Naitlon, he could take the 200 Zuz that we're speaking about. Rotsa Nait Bechara'soi. In other words, he'll look, which is worth more, his share in the Bechaira or the 200 Zuz. And whichever is the greater, that's the number that he has a right to choose that he wants to take. Similar halacha. Again, he used that type of a statement when he's giving a gift to his wife. So the halacha is noitlason, she'll be entitled to 200 zuz. For noitlas ksubasa, and she's also entitled to ksuba. However, if the way he expressed himself was im omba big subasa, so here too, yadael yoinai, he has the upper hand. Ratasa noitlason, if she wants, she could take the 200 zuz. Or she could choose Ratsa Leiton Neitelis Ksubasa, she could choose to take a Ksuba. Third case, Vishchimara. If Vishchimara said, Tnuma Saim Zuz Laploini, Bachoivi Kiroiloi. Neitlan, he takes the 200 Zuz, the Neitlas Choivoi, and on top of that, he gets back, paid back what he is owed. The Mamar, however, if he said, Bachoivoi, Neitlan Bachoivoi, he takes the 200 Zuz, he takes the 200 Zuz to pay off the debt. The Rosh has a girsa, which is not the girsa of our Gemara, that here too he has a right to choose what he prefers. But most Rishonim don't agree with that for two reasons. One, by a son and by a wife, an argument can be made that he wants to treat his wife and treat his son in a special way, and he's giving them this choice what they want to receive. By a person who you owe money to, we don't have that kind of a situation. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is if the amount that he's giving to pay off his chayv will be more than he owes, then we may have a problem with ribbis, and therefore that's not the way to learn it. So, comments the Gemara, Shum the Amar Karoiloi, because he used the word Karoiloi, we say that he means to take a noitlan and a noitlas chayv, he means to get both. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, maybe the word karoiloi should be interpreted that he should get what he deserves, but not get more. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Hamani, who is the Tan of this Braisa? It represents the opinion of Rav Akiva. The Daik Lishni Yaseir, going back to Daf Samach Dalet, Rav Akiva said that when extra words are used, they're there for a reason. Because the Mishnah over there discussed, if somebody sold someone else his house, there are certain things that are certainly not included in that sale. So we learned Laya Sabar V'Laya Sadus. The pit in the backyard, the place where they collected water, they're all independent areas and they're not included in the sale of the house. And even if he writes the dimensions of these different places, they're not included. But the person who's selling the house now keeps the bar, but how's he supposed to get to the bar? So says Rabbi Kiva, because as we learned the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Hamoicha Bein Yofim Moicha, somebody who sells something, sells it generously. So he sold it all away. And now if he kept the bar, the seller, and he needs to get to the bar, Tzarech Likach Loi Derech, he has to buy himself, figure out a way to get to that bar. Div Rabbi Kiva. The Chachamim, the Chacham disagree, because as we learned, the opinion is of the Chachamim, ain't tzarech likach loy derech, because the opinion of the Chachamim is a moicher bein ra moicher. So if the seller knew that he's keeping the bar for himself, what he recognized when he sold it and he's keeping the bar for himself was that he has, of course, to keep a path how to get to that bar. However, the Mishnah continues saying, Rav Kiva agrees. Bezman she'amar lechutz me'ela, if when he wrote the contract, he wrote the words chutz me'ela, zayin tzarech likach haderech. Then even Rav Kiva will say that the seller keeps a path to that bar. And why? Because why was it necessary to say that I'm keeping these different areas? It's obvious, that's the halacha. So we see from here that when you use extra words, they're there for a purpose. And here too in our Gemara, by using the extra word karoiloi, they're there for a purpose. Alma, kiven de loy tzarech, if words that were not necessary to be used were used, Kivin deloy tzarach kamar. What is the purpose of those extra words? Letfuya milsakasi, to get more than he would have gotten otherwise. And here in our Gemara also, hachanami, kivin deloy tzarach, it wasn't necessary to add the words karoy loy. And the shkimarak kamar, he did say the word karoy loy. Letfuya milsakasi, it comes to say that he should get even more. In the Zmiris on Friday night, we sing, Kol Mekadosh Shvi Karoy Loi, Kol Shai Meshabbos Kedas Mechala Loi. So I saw that the Majlis Rebbe, the Sefer Yisa Bracha, says that our Gemara just explained that Karoy Loi, that means that you want to give more. Kol Mekadosh Shvi, what we say every Friday night, is Karoy Loi. The way with Shai Meshabbos is not just do the minimum, what's absolutely required. But Karoy Loi, we do more than we required. Because Kol Shai Meshabbos Kedas, if you're just going to be Shai Meshabbos Kedas, just keep the absolute minimum and not try to be extra careful in your Shmira Shabbos, Mechal Loi, you come very close to Chas V'Shalom being Mechal Shabbos. Tan Rabban, Shchimra Sha'amar, Mana Yesh Li Etz Aplani, somebody says, I owe somebody else a mana. Ha'edim kaisim, and the Edim wrote this down. They heard Reuven say, I owe Shimon, the Shimon is saying, I owe this person money. V'abishem akirim, even though they don't know if he really owes the money, they can write it. But says the Gemara, since that's the halacha, l'ficha kishugayva, when the Yorish of the Shimon says that come to use that, when the Yorishim come and write, bring that shtar that the Shchimra said somebody owed him money, that shtar isn't definitive. And Tzarech Lavi Raya, they have to bring a Raya that the money is truly owed, because there is no other proof. There's no other proof. And as the Achronim explained the Gemara, under normal circumstances, no one would write such a shtar. It's only here by a Shchimra that the shtar may be written. The Chamayim, the Chum say, of course, ain't kaisvim. They can't just write the shtar just because the Shchimra says somebody owes me money. Elm kei makirim, unless they're certain what he's saying is true. Lefikach, since therefore if the shtar is not written without Adam being certain that what's being written here is true, lefikach shugayva ain't tzarech lavi raya. So the shtar, since it was only written if it was perfectly verified, so then you can rely on the shtar to collect what's owed. Amram Nachman Amalei Huna. Tana, we learned another braisa, Ramei Omer Ein Kaisvim, that we don't write, the Edom may not write this unless they're certain that the money is truly owned. The Chama Omerim Kaisvim. V'afra Meya, Lo Omer El Mishim Bezdin Toyin. They won't, what Ramei is concerned is Bezdin is going to make a mistake and they're going to think that you could completely rely on the shtar, and you can't because it's just the Edom writing without any verification. Says the Gemara, Amar Avdimim Adar Hilchasa Ein Chayshin LeBezdin Toyin. We need not be concerned for Bezna will make a mistake. But ask the Gemara, Amayishna Mirava, why is this any different from Halach the Rava taught us? Masechta Yevam Stav Kovav Amar Aleph. Damar Rava Ein Chaltsim. We don't, Bezna won't do a Chalitza. Elon Kane Mekirim. Unless we're certain that it's appropriate that the mechalitza should be done here. Eima manim, we don't do mian, elmke makirim, that it's appropriate. Lefika kaisven get, chalitza get mian. And therefore, Edom that saw Bezdin do this type of a procedure can be confident that this procedure was done properly, and they can write an edus that they saw it. Because vabish ein makirim, even though the Edom themselves don't know. What do we see? Mishum, the Choshel Bezdin, Tayin. If we're going to say that Bezdin does do these things, even though they're not certain they should be done, why are we not concerned that Bezdin made a mistake? Loi. Says the Gemara, Bezdin, Basa Beidina, Loi Daiki. A second Bezdin that's verifying what the first Bezdin did is not careful. And we have to be concerned that the second Bezdin is assuming that the first Bezdin, whatever they did right, and it might not be the case that way. Bezdin Basa Edom, but after a testimony of Edom, Bezdin Daiki are careful, and they would not do something unless they wouldn't just rely on Edom to assume that everything is perfect. And therefore, if Bezdin does something which was just based on Edom, the Bezdin can be relied on. Here the Gemara says that Bezdin, after a Bezdin, Loidaiki are not checking. And the question here is that Tzitzeliezer says that in the halacha, as we're going to learn in Masechta Sanhedrin, there is no system in Jewish Bezdin for a court of appeals. This is not a concept that we find. Why? But we do find in Eretz Yisrael, the Batei Dinim have an appeal system. And the question is, how could they have instituted that type of a system? So he says that our Gemara just says that Bezdin doesn't necessarily always assume what the previous Bezdin did is correct. And that's why they have a right to review what they have done. There's an interesting discussion I saw in the Sefer Atta L'Moshel, where somebody bought a food, and he bought a salad. And the salad, he opens up the salad, and he sees there's infestation of the salad. And he has a claim on the kashrus, says, how did you give a heksher to this salad? So the heksher says that we didn't certify the lettuce. The lettuce was bought by the establishment that we certify. The lettuce was bought with a heksher. And the heksher, that heksher, obviously did not do its job properly by having vegetables in the salad, that in the lettuce that they sold to our establishment that are infested. And the customer says, well, I walked into this restaurant buying the salad, and I walked into this restaurant because I know this restaurant is under your supervision. And blaming it on another supervision is unsatisfactory. They're not the supervision I was relying on. I was relying on your supervision, and you didn't do your job properly. So how does the halacha look at that situation? So he explains it depends, and he connects it to our Gemara. If it's well known that this hashgacha does not insist that all of the products that it certifies, all the establishments it certify, only use products under its hashgacha, so then you can't have a claim to the heksher, because it's understood that they're accepting ingredients under other hashgachas that they think are good hashgachas, but are really perhaps not such strong hashgachas. But if it's a situation where the hashgacha claims that everything that comes to establishment that we certify, we take full responsibility, so they can't blame another hashgacha, because the person who walks into the store is assuming that they're taking full responsibility for anything that's being sold in that establishment.